I'm so excited to be here and very grateful talking to Lori this morning. She said that she was preparing this morning as she was listening to the podcast of the last, all those messages were running through her head. But I'm very grateful for the teaching class. You got the book too. It's really quite amazing. I want to get off on that, but the Lord is adding things to us spiritually, equipping us, and causing us to be ready for this next season ahead. And so I want to invite you to plug in as we've been talking to these different ministries. I want to mention as we're coming into the message here, there's one thing about Cleansing Stream Ministry that's been, I guess I'll say, a deeper salvation to many. Many people get hung up in some past sin where they opened up a door, and that door caused there to come a grip of something other than just the sin itself. A real work of darkness has taken a hold of their life. And people get, they come to a church, so they open up to the Lord, and they'll, in a good context, they'll hear preaching, but there's never teaching on how to be free. And so they struggle their entire Christian life. And then many fall by the wayside because they say, well, it just didn't work for me. I tried and I tried and I tried. Well, they weren't taught how to be free, how to get unhooked from things. And I know many church traditions, you know, the people come in and told me I got saved and then I just hang on to the end. And that's not victorious living. And when you have ministries in place that cause people to come out of darkness, not just the justification by faith, say, but actually sanctified, where things are broken from their life and there's healing and there's all kinds of the delivering works. People come into a place of real active service and good things for that the Lord has for them. So I want to be, even before we get on, I just want to say, the church at large, many, 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 many folks are full of their own reasonings. And when you have a ministry that confronts those reasonings and Jesus becomes the Lord over your life, you don't buy into all the things that many people are buying into. Wholesaling sin and falling by the wayside, coming into agreement with the world's values. Whereas there's something of the work of the Lord to cut down deeper inside, you realize that's counterfeit stuff because the Lord dealt with that sin in my life. And this leads us, I guess, into our message. Everybody say, Christ is our all sufficiency. Christ is all sufficient. He's all sufficient. Let's go ahead on the back of your notes there. There's a verse. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 5 and 6. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us. Isn't that really pretty powerful statement? Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. How many in here have felt so insufficient and inadequate about many different things in your Christian life? Go ahead and tell the person next to you, that's pretty much a sign of maturity right there. When you know you can't do it, and you know that God is the one that can do it, that is growing up. That is growing up. People stay stuck trying to be sufficient in themselves, coming up short all the time, feeling inadequate, feeling beat down, not realizing that's the sign that it's not going to be about your efforts, it's going to be about your surrender and the Lord's efforts inside of you. We are not sufficient, as claiming as anything coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God who has made us sufficient. Go ahead and elbow somebody. Hallelujah. I'm made sufficient. I am. To be ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills. How many of you are glad for that verse? But the Spirit gives life. Now, this pulpit, I don't want anything trite coming out of this place. I want fresh, life-giving words that build you up, that keep you, that empower you. This is a place we want there to be something of God's input. We want not the letter that kills. We want the Spirit that gives life flowing, the breath of God flowing into your hearts. Because these are difficult times. These are times of difficulty. We're not going to candy coat or tell you, just do a little bit of this or just a little bit of that, or here's 10 ways how you can wax your nice car. And there has been so much of that in the body of Christ over the last years that there's been no real understanding of what Jesus is about. It's about here, you know, oh, you can just, okay, just make a decision. There you go. Okay. And the moment any kind of conflict rises up, they're gone. And the preaching has been pathetic because it hasn't called people to sell out to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no other way because the bridegroom is not looking for a floozy. He's looking for a bride without spot or without wrinkle or any such thing. Someone that values him the way he's valued them. So I'm looking for some folks in here that are sold out. And if you're not, I'm looking for people who are looking to be sold out. Because we are facing times where people are vacillating, wavering. They're doing all kinds of, oh, I don't know if I'm going to be a, I'm going to figure it out on my own. I'm going to go do my own thing. And fears and all kinds of vacillating and changes going on all over the place. What happened to people? What did they get? What did they not get? What's going on? The Bible declares a great falling away. I'm not standing in judgment of any particular person, any place. I'm just looking at the context of the entire thing. Go ahead and look at that thought on your notes there. Right on the front there. I think it says, when have you ever been sufficient in your own strength for this walk you're called to in Christ Jesus? When have you ever been? Has the adversary fooled you into thinking that it was all about your efforts? Has that happened? Now, there are certain disciplines, and you learn those disciplines, you begin to open up to the way of the Lord. But you need a word from the Lord. You need His strength. You need your heart. I do. I need my heart somehow warmed in God's presence every day. I need some kind of a relational encounter with the Lord to walk in the day. Because have you ever walked along the side of the road and some car ride by and there was a mud puddle and you just get... It's like that all the time in the mental realm, all the time. Stuff just, all kinds of yuck being splashed up on you and I all the time. You turn on the news, it's like the splash. You turn on that splash, you look at it, and it's like nonstop. The pain and the ache of a wayward culture that has left the ways of the Lord is extraordinarily painful. And the aftermath of all the bad decisions and people living under them their own desires without any kind of boundary, and the lawlessness that is given. This is what we're living in. And it's not in judgment. And this is the culture that Paul came and preached to. This is where, this is the kind of, where there's all kinds of gods on the shelf and all kinds of desires on the shelf. And this is where the preaching of Peter and John, they came into cultures like this. So it's, oh wow, Lord, it's time for the fresh anointing that you pour out upon the church. Where people hear the voice of the Lord in the midst of their conflict, in the midst of their failure, and they feel the hope that only God can give because Jesus took it all upon Himself. And there's a help that is beyond any human concept, any human humanism or any kind of thing like that, that comes from the throne of God. God loves people. He helps people. He cares deeply. I'm one of them. We were ministering to a fellow. And he had a spirit of lust. And he said he came by it honestly because his mom and dad had dirty magazines, dirty pictures in the house. And I said, what are we going to do here? And the Holy Spirit gave me a question. And I said to him, when was the first time that you looked at him and you knew in your heart that it was wrong? And conviction came. Because it didn't matter if mom or dad did it. And the person's head went down and the tears began to form. And the moment they took responsibility for their own decision, liberty was on the way. And so there is, our first fill in the blank is Jesus Christ is sufficient for our sin. He's sufficient for our sin. Some people give up because of their sin. Some people give up because they've tried and tried and tried, as I said a minute ago. They tried to overcome and they just get so... How many of you have been discouraged by your own sense of failure and not being able to deal with yourself? Is that true? And then somebody comes along and says, hey, come out in the name of Jesus. And Jesus casts something out and you're changed. And the root issue is overthrown and something of a healing comes to a deep place. And you say, I don't have to live that way anymore. This is remarkable what Jesus does. And He's going to do all the more. He's going to do all the more these coming days. All the more. We need the Jesus as the shepherd, the apostolic head. We need all that He does as a deliverer, rescuer, going about doing good, healing all who are oppressed of the devil. All of that is what Jesus is set to do these days. Are you in? High five somebody. Tell them I'm walking with Jesus in the midst of the darkness. I'm in with it. Hallelujah. I want to read a verse in Colossians. I don't have the verse written out there, but I'm going to go ahead and read it. Colossians 2, 13 through 15. And I'm going to take a little time to talk about it as we go through it, okay? And you, this is Paul saying, and you who were dead in your trespasses, say dead in your trespasses, okay, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, in other words, your unchanged heart, God made alive together with Him. God made you, you were dead, but now He's made you alive, having forgiven all our trespasses. Okay, so this is, now look at how He says it here. By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. So you owe this money. Now this is, other translations, I think it's NIV, calls it a death certificate. Now in this sense, or the light of this, what you have is Satan is a coroner. Because coroners issue death certificates. And a person who's the beneficiary of a life insurance policy cannot get that unless they come and show the certificate, the death certificate. Is that right? And so He's already figured that you're never going to come. You're never going to obey the gospel of Jesus. You're never going to come. So He's already issued you a death certificate. And you're going to go into eternity without Him because He's issued you a death certificate. But Jesus took it, and He nailed it to the cross. And He broke the power of that paperwork over your life. Because there is no sin He cannot deal with. He's all sufficient for our sin. Something's happened to me, and I feel the... How many of you had the pain? Sin created pain in your life. There's a lot of help in the hope in the Lord and the anointing of the Lord and the capacity that the Lord wants to release. And I sense that as I did a minute ago and just in preparing these things, asking God what's on His heart. And I sense that today the Lord whispered to me and said, if you feel inadequate, that's good. If you feel insufficient, that's good. And I think not a lot of us need to hear them. If you sense that you're inadequate, this is a good thing. Because you're going to quit thinking about putting the pressure on yourself to do things spiritually that you're not capable of doing without surrendering to the One who lives within you. You can market it. You can do all things to whoop up a bunch of flesh motivation in the name of spiritual stuff. But when it comes to the eternal consequence and power, anything that's going to make any difference heavenward for you and I is going to be because you surrendered and the Lord did it in you and the Lord did it through you. Isn't that right? And we can play all kinds of stuff, but until you allow Him those deep places, you just keep fumbling around. Let's just get acknowledged before the throne of God right now. I feel insufficient, and that's good. Because His strength is made perfect in weakness. Is that right? His grace is sufficient in our inadequacies and all those things. And that's what I felt the Lord saying. I want to breathe on the hearts of my people and show them that they can't do it anyway, but I can do it in them. So how about, listen to this. Let's have some aggressive surrender. Let's call it clinging. Let's cling to the Lord, because He can do in us what we cannot do in ourselves. I just, you know, I get a little older and I realize I don't have quite this or that, but the Lord says, oh, you don't need this or that. I'm here. And so, in fact, that this or that was too distracting for you. Now that this or that's gone, I'm pretty much it, right? You guys getting me? And I want more and more of what the Lord has for people. We're going to, all of us in this room, there's some degree of spirituality and maturity where you know that when you step back and allow the Lord to come in, good things happen for people. And we want to live in that state of heart and mind all the time. And he says, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He takes that death certificate, and then he goes and he disarms the rulers and the authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them. And what's so beautiful about this is that this is kind of the amazing thing. I don't know how many people it seems to boil down to this. It seems to boil down, when a person really struggles with forgiving themselves, I'm pretty much ready to say there's some point of bondage that they need to be freed from. Because somebody can say, I can forgive others, I can receive God's forgiveness, but I can't forgive myself. I wonder what is that? And sometimes you just have to take what Jesus has done and rule over something. And I've seen it where when they finally take the reality of that, and let me ask you a question. What right do you have not to forgive yourself if the Lord did? I don't even understand that. Unless the devil's involved. And then when he's rebuked, and the grip and the confusion of all that is involved in the human mind and heart is broken, there's an amazing, amazing sense of life that comes. And there's, I love myself, I love myself. It's a transformation. One good thing we can all say, one good thing about the snow is this verse. Ready? This is Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Let your sins, if they're like scarlet, let them be white as snow. Hallelujah. Let's just redeem the whole snowfall thing. Declare hallelujah. White as snow. And if you're like red like Clemson, they'll become like wool. In order to be cleansed of your sins, you must be convicted of sins. Because you can't be cleansed of what you're not convicted of. If there's no sense of this is wrong, there's no sense of, well, I want to confess and get rid of it. Psalm 103, 10 through 12 says, He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. Lean in, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, He has removed our transgressions from us. I know that I can drive north, and eventually, if I go past the North Pole, I'll be driving south. Is that right? But I can drive east and never, never, never hit west. I just keep driving east. Unless I turn around. He has taken our sins as far as the east is from the west. You can't see Him again unless you turn around and go back. And the reason He can do that is because He says, for, I love 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake He made Him. This is one of my most favorite verses. Made Him to be sin who knew no sin, that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and look at number two. Christ is sufficient for our suffering. He's sufficient for our sin. There's no sin that you can commit that God can't do the work to set you free. And Jesus does say things. Let me go ahead and, as we're transitioning in, Jesus does say things like, go and sin no more, lest something worse come upon you. I mean, that's Jesus that said that. Well, I can go ahead and sin, God will forgive me. No, that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, don't go wallow in it like the dog that returns to the vomit or the pig to the slop. That's not the godliness of God. The grace of God teaches us to turn and go east. And keep going east and don't go back. Is that right? Are you ready for this? Just saying. Because deceptions that take people to hell are based on things like that. And the Lord comes back and, who is it? I think Smith Wigglesworth. Just according to the scriptures about the wise virgins and the 50-50. I mean, it might be just 50-50. It could be less than that. Who knows? Where the Lord comes back and people who said they were, they're not. The sheep, the goat, this is, look, I care about you. I care about people making it all the way. Not selling them a bill of goods about something that's not right. And it is not hard. Now, this next one about our cares about our suffering. If you have your Bible open there, I'm reading out of the English Standard Version. But 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 12, I'm going to just run through this. And there's a little bit more I can have you fill out here. There's four little spaces at the bottom here. But it goes like this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all, everybody say, comfort. That's one. Who comforts? Oh, there it is again. Two. Us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort. Oh, there's three. Those who are in any affliction with the comfort. Oh, there it is again. Four. With those, how many of you, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, there's 10 of these. So I won't count them anymore. Comfort us with which we ourselves, with the comfort with we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as we share in our sufferings, so we will share in our comfort. For we did not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we received a sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. There it is again. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. And on Him we've set our hope that He will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. For our boast is in this, the testimony of our conscience, that we behaved in the world with simplicity and godly sincerity, not by earthly wisdom, but by the grace of God, so supremely, and supremely so toward us. And this is the word affliction is in there four times, and this word suffering is in there four times. But look at the nature of it. It's Christ's suffering. It's like he says, for we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings. How many of you understand that there is a suffering walking for the Lord? And see, here's the thing. That concept has been absent in the body of Christ, except for in the nations where they're suffering. In America, that concept, the slightest sense of suffering and I'm out the door. You mean God's not going to give me a car and a new house? How dare He? I gave my money. Isn't that amazing? God says, no, I was trying to cast down an idol in your heart. Because you're full of mammon and greed. And you're looking at me in a certain way. I want to bless you, but listen, it starts on the inside. It's an inside job. We're going to be totally amazed that people were probably almost paupers and how they excelled in heaven. I know Amos Dodge's dad. He prayed for their 9 kids. Prayed every day they'd wake up, they'd hear him down there. He'd be praying for God's blessing on their life. He was loud. He died with not one penny. He gave everything away. And now all 9 of them are thriving in ministry. There are other values. There are other values than having a nice car, being decked out. There are certain blessings that there's nothing wrong. I'm not coming against anything. It's when material things control you and they seem to take over Because once the Lord says, I just want you to go ahead and give that away. And you got a freedom for Him to do things in you. Isn't that something? So these sufferings here are not sufferings for being dumb. They're sufferings from being smart. They're sufferings that you're having because you're walking with Jesus. And there are sufferings that are going on like that right now in other parts of the country, in other parts of the world. And they're suffering for Christ because they will not deny His name. They will not say, no, I can't deny Jesus Christ. Then off with your head. So be it. Come on, Jesus. And this is terrible. Shouldn't be that way. But these are the days. I never thought I'd be standing in these days. Ever. But you and I have some decisions to make about how we're going to walk with the Lord. Amen? How many of you walked away and then you walked back? Are there some of you among you that you walked away and walked back and said, oh my God, what in the world is out there? I've already done that. Been there, got the t-shirt. Dumb move right there. Okay, here we go. Let's go down. All right, here's the blank. So I'm going to go ahead to 1 Peter 5, 6 through 10. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that He may exalt you in proper time, right? Casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And now it's tagged onto this verse. Resist him, firm in the faith, knowing, and here's the same thing about the suffering, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood in the world. There's, when you're suffering in Christ, it's going on in everybody else's heart too. So you're not alone. That's good news. He says, now, everybody just read this part. After, it's in there, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself, here's the first one, restore. That's the first one. Restore. And then confirm. Other versions may say something else, but this restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish. Restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Restore you. Confirm, strengthen, and establish you. This is the most amazing thing about our walk with the Lord, because the simple approach would be to say, don't do that. That's the simple approach to Christianity. Don't do that. But see, you already did. So that doesn't really help. That doesn't help anybody. Now we've got to answer, now what? You better go off into battle. Don't stay home. Men, you... Well, they already did it. What do we do now? God sends a prophet. Brings conviction of sin. There's a way out. Person comes under conviction of sin. Now what? We're convicted of sin. That's the way out. Right? Now I got to cry out to God. Psalm 51. God wants truth in here, and I got lies in here. He'll restore something. Restore. Now this is this kind of thing, though. Everybody in here is I think there's a lot of confusion hitting a lot of people of the fact that in the United States, we've had such an amazing 150-year run of a sweet spot, almost a 200-year, a sweet spot where no suffering for walking with Jesus. It's almost like this bubble. It's almost like, shouldn't it even exist? And now the reality, and it's like, okay, now the Bible makes sense. Now the Bible's making sense now. There's so many passages, without pressure, you don't get it. But the moment the pressure comes, wow, this book's really good. It says all this stuff. That's right, because now you're in the midst of it. Now let's go ahead to the last. Christ is also sufficient for our salvation. And I know we've been talking about the working of salvation, but I want to talk about the eternal quality of it. God's doing something in you, isn't He? Okay. Amen. This verse, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men which we must be saved. There is not salvation in anyone else but Jesus Christ. The way to that, we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead and we're saved. Simple, simple, simple. But I want to focus on a place we're all going to end up just for a minute. In Revelation chapter 5, we'll close with this idea. Revelation chapter 5, it says, "Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and to break its seals?' And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll and to look at it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll and look at it." Look into it. "And one of the elders said to me, 'Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he may open the scroll with its seven seals.' And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed the people of God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you've made a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign in the earth.' And I looked and I heard around the throne living creatures and elders, the voice of many angels, of numbering myriads and myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.' And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever.' And the living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshipped." What is this scroll? What is the scroll? The scroll, beloved, is the title deed to planet Earth. Man was given the title deed. Has God said, and the whole fall began. And Adam submits the title deed. He was given to govern, but now somehow in the spirit realm, the title deed is taken because man has fallen from relationship with God, and now it's handed over to the adversary and the prince of the power of the air. And all that this is, Jesus never said that the devil couldn't offer him the world. He had the title deed. But God figured it out, see? He became a man. And to get the title deed of the planet back, you've got to die for all the sins that were committed and pay the debt, because there was a mortgage. And sin's debt was the mortgage on the planet. That's why the whole planet groans and travails for the redemption of the sons of God. And when he takes the scroll and begins to break the seals, those are the releasing of the things of the last days that begin to redeem the planet all back. The tumultuous times we're in is the revealing and opening of the scroll, which is the title deed. Let's rejoice. Let's rejoice. Let's rejoice. Because now it's in His hands. Hallelujah. And the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He will reign forever and ever. I have a personal desire to say to you that the treasure of Jesus Christ is in an earthen vessel. That the excellency of the knowledge of God and the excellency of His power is not of, it's not of us, it's of Him. He's inside of you. And He has canceled out the certificate of death of your life. And with the power of that, so here's the question: where are you insufficient? Where are you inadequate today? Where are you inadequate? Are you inadequate in facing sin? Are you inadequate in facing suffering with the Lord? Are you inadequate in some aspect of your salvation and the fullness of all He has for you? If you're there, come to Him. He is your complete adequacy. Let's lift our hearts to Him right now. Praise You, Lord Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Let a fresh surrender, let a choice of just to freshly surrender to the Lord. There might have been something that was said and just, you know, I know the Lord does this kind of stuff. He may not do it every service, but I know there's on occasion there'll just come a moment inside of a heart where something that was there that had a point of dominion is snapped and broken. And something is released and delivered. And you might not be able to articulate it, but the Holy Spirit has been sanctifying you with the washing of the water of the Word. He's speaking the Word to His bride, and He's cleansing that heart and causing freedom to rise in a place where you couldn't live that way before, but now you can because the blood of the Lord and the Word of the Lord came and did something inside. And now you realize I don't have to be adequate enough. I can just surrender, and He's everything. He's adequate for me. Let's tell Him, change my heart, Lord. Change my heart. Give me a sense of a creative work with You. Praise You, Lord. And if you're really uncertain and you've got all kinds of fears kicking you around, or you've been wavering like so many, I just want to go ahead and say that's a sign of inadequacy. You might feel insecure about all that's going on in the world, right? It would make you insecure. I can't handle watching a lot of that and taking all that in. But you know what I can do? And I tell you, this is what I do. I sit in the presence of Jesus by myself. And His fullness rises up. And I know it's not like I'm running from anything. It's that I'm inviting Him in. And He taught us to pray. He said, pray this way. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And God does something. And next thing you know, you're not concerned anymore. You don't have that fear or that sense of insecurity. You have this sense of weight and intimacy and fullness. And He restores, and He confirms, and He strengthens, and He settles you, and you're all right. And you got something to comfort somebody else who's going through the same thing. Because now you're laying hold of the adequacy that Jesus is inside. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And Father, as we just surrender freshly to You, and we thank You, as Paul said, You did deliver, You will deliver, and You'll deliver again. We thank You that You constantly work in our behalf as the One who in all sufficiency comes and deals with sin, deals with our weakness and suffering, and every aspect of our salvation has been completely taken care of, and You're completely sufficient. Thank You, Jesus. Somebody worship with me, would you? Hallelujah, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Let's stand together. Take somebody's hand, would you, just for a minute. Just reach around, grab more than one, just kind of build a bond here, because a big part of this is the unity of the Spirit, that we are a team. We're an army. We're a body. We're unified together. Would you lift your head? Holy Spirit, fall fresh, I ask, as we exalt the name of Jesus, go in and through this body life and cause things to happen in a way that causes Your life freely flowing. So I pray for each of us. Any place where there's been a stoppage, I pray, Lord, let it be unhindered, and let there come a flow of Your grace, profound work of Your Spirit. Hallelujah. We've been bristled up by the Spirit of the world. I pray a calming of the Holy Spirit's fullness and security in each of us. For our adequacy is of You. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. And Lord, I want to just declare this to you guys. There is an anointing that we're stepping into that's not been like the past. I want you to prepare your hearts. Settle in your heart that you're going to seek hard after God, because God is giving out things in this season that are to cause you to go forward in ways that you couldn't before. Don't let the distractions pull you away. Get single-hearted and single-minded because the joys that you have never known are coming. I'm not kidding. I know that there are things that the Lord has set Himself to do in the midst of this time. And He wants to magnify Himself in you and for you and around you. But you must be single-minded and single-hearted for that to happen. So, Lord, I pray for the sober-mindedness, the guarding of our hearts. Praise You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face to shine upon you. And the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.